CliffCentral.com.
Are you? And we come in peace.
This morning, we got Ben, we got Bulelo, we've got Leanne Mull, we got me, we got you. What more could we want? And it's spring. Oh, God. Oh, there's a sneeze. Nicely done. Well out. Yeah. Thought I was the only one who ever sneezed on the show, but now I feel better about myself. Thanks, Leanne. See? That's what you do for me. Make me feel better about me. All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
So much to do this morning. First of all, can I just say that Time magazine picture of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle is, if you needed proof, what a stupid bunch of assholes those two are! What an embarrassment they really are.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, Time magazine has gone so far now to show you who the simp of the year is.
Simp well of done, the Harry. Year. You, no.
There was only one winner in that one, and he nailed it. Is it true that he sold his rifle collection now because she doesn't like guns?
Something like that, yeah. He's a total simp. And just explain what a simp is for people who don't know.
Well, I mean, there's varying degrees of the internet, but it's become quite a trend. It's like you do anything for a woman. You lose all your own identity.
Yeah.
And everything you do, you just simping for a woman's needs.
Right.
And I don't think that's healthy for anyone. I know some people will say, well, you know, maybe he really loves her. But yeah, I mean, it's hardly interesting for her, though. She's going to run off with some Honduran man later on with a giant penis because, I mean, no woman wants someone that's just going to be so subservient and so in it, like, able to lead in directions. It's not a positive thing. It really isn't.
Honduran man with it's a giant penis.
Yep. Harry's going to be heartbroken by that dynamic right there. I've said it first right here.
It's a turn off when a man actually gives in to a woman's wants and needs.
Yeah.
It's even though we want it secretly, it's actually a turn off when they comply and they lose a part of themselves.
Well, when a...
Yeah, completely.
When a woman kind of gets what she wants, it's like a dog if they caught the car, because now, so what are you going to do with it? Because now you've ended up with this man who complies with your every wish and desire. And now suddenly the game is up because, so I actually have a friend who had a similar marriage and he's still in it. And
oh gosh,
yeah, it's bad because
oh
no, he lives in another country now and he lives with her. And she kind of tells him what to do and what to think. And where. So he moved, and she's got a job now, but he doesn't. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know how that relationship works, but I can tell you one thing. He's not a happy human being. I actually checked in with him about a week or two ago, and I'm like, how's it going over there? They live in some other country now. And he said, okay. You know when someone's like quietly desperate? He's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Almost like Morty from Rick and Morty. Oh, I'm okay, Rick. I'm okay. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, don't worry, nobody's dead. That kind of thing. But you could hear the guy's like having a shit time. So I'm like, are you doing anything yet? He's like, no, she's still the breadwinner.
Yeah, the thing is, he's so mentally fractured. When you ask him that, he's waiting to, like, shit, what must I say to make her happy? So he's so downtrodden, he's got no confidence, he's no bounce-back ability. And, you know, like, to go back to some old sort of phrases, does that make these women, like, succubuses or Jezebels? Like, because if you allow so much rope, because essentially you're being sucked dry, right? There's nothing left of your friend, there's nothing left of Harry. I mean, Harry's going to actually... You know the worst thing is, it's like when gingers go grey. Like the one thing gingers have is that they stay ginger for a while.
Yeah.
I reckon Harry's going to be the first outwardly grey ginger, and that'll be the final nail in the coffin.
But I don't get
and
it.
He'll sulk, and then he'll sulk back to the UK where
they won't let him back.
A gob job from some chick.
They hate him in the UK now. They hate him. Not only his own family are deeply, deeply unhappy with him, but the whole of Britain is like, they did a poll the other day about how popular Harry is. And he used to be like the most popular royal of them all because he was in the army.
Sure.
And, and he was this playboy, and he was fun, and he was ginger, and he was like, he had a sense of humor. People liked him because he had some character, right? And they actually preferred him to William. Oh. Now they
displayed some masculinity.
Yeah. Well, that's in the good old days. But he obviously had, there were mental health issues going on anyway that most people weren't talking about. And now they did this poll, like 80% of the British people don't want him to ever come back. So
I reckon he would still get a roosty at the Henley Regatta by some girl called Susan Halftrop over the hill boat Ron Phillips.
Definitely. I mean, you know, they can't help themselves. They have raw blood and their teeth just jump out of their mouths. They can't wait to get him. I sort him right down around the corner while we're on the boat together. I'll take him to the bogs and sort him out there. That sort of thing. Anyway,
This is what incest eventually gives you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a bunch of incestuous trust fund kids. In the end, this is where it ends up.
700
with all
years.
Of them. They're all of, you know my thoughts on all of them, from Elizabeth to the whole lot.
I know.
Bunch of shitheads anyway.
So 700 years of inbreeding. But here's the picture again. I just want to look at this. And so, first of all, doesn't it look like they photoshopped their heads on, for starters? It's very weirdly lit. Second of all, Harry's definitely the girl in the relationship, or certainly the submissive, right? So he's standing behind her. He's kind of edging into her picture. It's really her picture. And I won't lie, Megan looks good.
He's wearing black. He's like meant to be in the shadows. She's wearing white. It's all very symbolic of like, look, this man is a eunuch.
Yeah. And he looks almost a little like a deer in the headlights in the picture, but she looks confident and she's standing proud, almost like she's got a big cock. She's standing there in the middle. She's proud.
She's Megan-splaining. She's Megan-splaining, and he looks like a gay hairdresser.
Well, that's exactly.
Yes!
Yeah.
I was trying to find what he looks like. Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like the fabulous friend that they, like, every, you know, every girl has that. She's divine! He looks like he's going to pop at any moment she is the best! My God!
Fabulous, yeah.
So you nailed it, Ben. That's the gay friend. That's who he looks like.
How do you go from, like, who among us wouldn't like to be born a prince? Your father's the future king of England. Your brother's the future king of England. You've got it all, mate. All you have to do is not be a moron. You could have the most amazing life. You can meet the most amazing people. You've got proximity to things, but none of the responsibility, right? Because there's responsibility.
So I did an exchange year at the high school he went to, and he was a year above me. He was doing what they call A-levels
or
whatever. No. He went to Eton.
I think he was at Harrow.
Well, his photo was up at Eton, so he was there. So his photo is up at the school. Mm. They're like, he's there, Boris is there.
But you know what's happened? You know what's happened this week is that some kid at that school has cut this picture out and stuck it over the one that's hanging in the hall. You know they are, right? That's what happens at schools.
No, not there. They don't play with that.
They've stuck it on with Prestick, I promise you right now. Nobody's going to talk about it because there's a code of, like, everybody keeps a stiff upper lip and doesn't split on each other. But one of the seniors there this year went and stuck that picture of him and Megan up. Oh my God, what a horrible picture! And Megan's probably framed this and put it in their entrance hall. And Harry's like, anything you want, darling, anything you want.
Oh, guys,
you think we're being unkind?
Obviously, you are.
Oh, really?
And it comes with. It comes with your bias of your hate of him.
But hold on, Leanne, I don't have a hate.
It's not the hate, it's the perplexing of a situation. I don't hate him either. I couldn't give a toss what he does. It's just a perplexing situation.
Like, for me, it's, you know, when we were there, he's such a big deal everywhere he goes. Even at the school, like, the guy's coming in with security guards. Like, it's a thing. It's like, hey, chief, everyone here, the Brit kids are so rich. It's insane. You know, I was just like a pauper eating beans in the corner. But, like, Just get on with it. No, not this guy. His photo was on the school of all schools. I mean, the original, where they planned the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And it's just like, is this where we're ending up now? Come on, Doc.
Do you feel the same way about seeing someone like Kanye West in the media?
No, because he's not a trust fund kid. For me, I'll always say, I'll always judge you more harshly when you're, his family has never done anything, and he has everything.
That's the same. That's the same as you blaming someone. From the other side, the opposite of your philosophy is the same as your philosophy in this case. So you would have a problem if someone extremely poor was pretending to be like someone who came from old money, because to you it's that easiness of life that you have a problem with. My problem is his behavior. Like Kanye's behavior has also been dumb. Do you remember when he like took that he took the podium over from that idiot Taylor Swift? I mean, they're both equally unappealing in my book. But you remember Obama even called him a jackass, and he was a jackass. And when I see like Kanye, we even criticized him this week or last week with the whole Donda thing, and just how like he's such a mommy's boy, and it's kind of pathetic. And with this Kim thing, you know, he kind of lets her take the lead, which to me is fine occasionally. You can, as the guy, especially with things like the Met Gala. I mean, what kind of man is not going to let his woman take the lead there? If she wants you, like, okay, you know, honey, I'll wear this stupid outfit to go to the Met Gala with you because I want to make you happy. We want to make this marriage work. But you don't always let her make the decisions like Harry and Meghan. To me, that's much worse. Where are you living? California. Why? My wife wanted me to come here. Why are you on Time Magazine? My wife wanted me to do it. Why'd you get rid of your guns? My wife wanted me to do it. Why'd you give up being a prince?
He doesn't.
My wife wanted me to do it.
Unfortunately, because of his upbringing, he doesn't. He can't think for himself. He's been told how to think his entire life.
Well, it's not an excuse.
So this is a good transition.
What, so he's being told by one person?
Into worse.
You just said yourself, Leanne.
Unfortunately, things have to get messy before they become better.
I'm going
to
take your word.
Sorry, Leanne. Sorry, maybe it's the internet connection. Are you saying Harry's transitioning to a woman now as well?
No, but you said it yourself just now. You find it so unattractive.
Shark, yeah.
Right? You said it's unattractive. Annette says, what a wimp. Yep, super unattractive.
That's the only thing we're getting at here.
No. Meghan does the pegging, says Vince. Do you know what pegging is, right? Do you know what pegging is? Pegging is where the man lets the woman take the dominant sexual role, and she uses like dildos and shit like that on him. So that's hilarious. Anyway, look, I mean, it's an ongoing conversation on this show, and I just think that it's funny that this magazine came out. All right, so much to get
to. Hashtag Ben likes this.
Yeah. What's the best, the best, now, Leanne, you asked this question yesterday, and I want to know why. What's the best birthday present you've ever received? Or do we have to tell you first?
I put it to you.
Okay.
I put it to you.
All right.
What is the best birthday present you've ever received?
Bulelo, you go first.
I did give it some thought. I was really lucky. I was always getting cool stuff when I was younger, you know, like PlayStations or whatever. So I've never really thought of that. I got all of the cool stuff now that I'm older. So the two greatest things that have ever happened to me, Leanne, is unfortunately what I can give you, because I've never been into birthdays really. Was a lady called Kathy van Blerk, when I was a real shithead in my 20s, said something to me which changed my life forever.
Only in your 20s?
Yeah.
Carry on.
That's good. She said to me, a mother is only as happy as their unhappiest child. And I'd never heard somebody say that. And sort of me being a shithead then, that completely changed everything. But in that very year, somebody who has continued to be a mentor of mine gave me a book, and it's called The Four Agreements. And it's probably it's the greatest thing that's happened to me, equal to what Kathy van Blerk said to me. But I just want to give you these four agreements quickly. And it is still the cornerstone of how I live my life. It's a book by Don Ruiz and Janet Mills, for those that might be interested. Number one, the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. Number two, don't take anything personally. Number three, don't make assumptions. And most importantly, the fourth one is always do your best. So that is the greatest thing anybody's ever given me, the four agreements. Yeah.
It's a good book. All right. How did I know
we were... It's the most Oprah answer ever.
Thank you.
How about you, Ben?
Thank you, Ben.
But also, someone who has anxiety cannot do at least two of the above. Wow. And we'll always make assumptions.
That's why we don't have a lot of presidents and emperors and generals who had anxiety. With all due respect. How about you, Ben? What's your favorite birthday present ever?
Yeah, it's gonna be, I don't know. I think my ex-girlfriend used to buy me a lot of nice things. I don't mean to sound sensitive, but they're kind of there, but in retrospect now.
Yeah, get over it. Jeez.
Would you just move on?
I just
not a doctor.
She was the one that always made. She always made the most effort for my birthday. That's it. But I mean, look at my life. I don't have an Oprah-esque answer. Like, a monk gave me a flower and told me to plant it with my future or some shit. Yeah, it'd probably be like a camera or a watch or something. I don't know, guys. Like, birthdays actually don't mean a whole bunch to me. I know it's this year I need to make like a big effort because I'm turning big 4-0. I think I'm going to give myself the best birthday gift ever this year, and I'm going to spend it with the people I care most about, doing something that I care about.
That is so tough.
Take that, Valilla.
Oh my God.
Oprah. Like, okay, so I feel like such a douchebag. I'll give you my answer. It's pretty straightforward. I was going to be all philosophical. I thought about this last night because Leanne said to
me. I was wondering if you were going to get all deep.
So I was going to say.
My predictions were you were either going to get all deep or you were going to go like something ridiculous. Like a bag of shit or something.
No. So I'll tell you straight up. It didn't take me long to figure it out.
Leanne, that is so coarse. That is so incredibly coarse, Leanne.
First of all, my memory doesn't stretch back to the things that I really craved when I was a child. So I'm not going to like say to you, there was this amazing toy that my dad brought back from far away, blah, blah, blah. It's nothing. I can't remember a damn thing.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
But I do remember 2 years ago in 2019, my business partner, Rena bought me a private tour of the Vatican as a birthday present.
Wow.
With a doctor, wow. With a doctor of history. And this woman took us around the every corner that, like the most incredible, knowledgeable person showing us works by Raphael and Michelangelo and, you know.
Did you see the kiddies corner?
No, I didn't. they didn't. They never. That's not on the tour. They don't let you see where they molest the children.
You've got to pay a lot more for that, Leanne. That was at least $1,000.
And I'm
just not made of money.
And I'm too old.
Yeah.
I'm too old.
That's double tithe there.
Only let some creepy old priest comes out and grabs you by the buttocks and takes you into a secret side chamber. But that didn't happen. Anyway, I mean, that's easily like that is a once in a lifetime gift, you know, to get.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like that's a really tour. Good.
And well everybody done, else was on this other thing, and we went like down some back stairs and into these apartments which have these frescoes on the roofs. Just amazing, 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 amazing. So that was an easy one to think of. Why do you ask?
Well, I didn't bring it up because I had some crazy story or something that relevant that had happened in the news.
Mm-hmm.
It was just asked of me while I was in a team meeting at work. It was someone's birthday and we, you know, went around and just spoke about the best presents we'd ever received. And this person in particular had received a gift of an acrobatic experience. So she was tossed about a plane.
Ooh, okay.
Which I thought was quite amazing. And it reminded me of my 21st birthday when I received, and I really did age myself in this meeting, considering it's a team of 20-somethings.
Oh, God, what did you say? Was it a pair of crutchless panties?
No, I only realized afterwards that I'd probably aged myself a lot because I said the following. I received my first check.
Oh, my God.
When I was 21. And it was for 21,000 rand.
Jesus, that's
which
a nice present.
20 years ago was shit. Powerful, yeah.
That's a good start.
Did you get 21,000 rand for your 21st?
Now Belinda's angry. No. You're now a trust funder, Leanne. Leave.
Belinda's what the hell are you doing?
Let us know you did to him.
That's right.
So I probably spent it in about 7 seconds.
Yeah. No, you probably did on bullshit. You know, you get like 21.
Well, that's the thing.
The sensible thing is like, well, if you invest 21,000 rand when you're only 21 years old and you add 1,000 rand every year after that, you know how those ads that they play in the financial world, come on. You could be a triple millionaire by the time you're 35. Of course you didn't. What did you do? You remember what you spent it on? Bullshit, right?
Yeah, I remember some things. So I remember I bought a Tag Heuer watch, which I still have to my credit.
Sure, okay.
I bought the most expensive pair of sunglasses. I can't remember the brand name.
And you don't have those anymore.
And No, obviously left them on a toilet roll holder in a bathroom somewhere. And the rest I can't remember. But I clearly did not have any respect for 44-year-old Leanne.
No.
And invested that money and let her live off the proceeds.
Yeah.
Later, 20 years down the line.
Because if your sleeping Jesus breaks now, you're in deep shit. And that 21-year-old Leanne didn't give a damn.
I mean, what am I going to look good in new shades?
Well, look at this.
And the other thing is that I obviously disappointed my accountant and tax practitioner father with my choice of spending because I never received 30,000 rand for my 30th or 40,000 rand for my 40th.
Well, at least you can be honest about it. And now, you know, you look back, and this is the whole thing about your past you and your future you. I mean, if you really want to get into this heavy shit, and I don't, but the whole point of sacrifice, which is an important part of every religion teaches you to sacrifice, not because religions are all bunkum and they all talk the same amount of shit, which is a good argument, but in this case it isn't. Like, sacrifice means your present person is prepared to think more of their future selves and make their future selves better, and therefore they sacrifice. And very few people get that right. So don't beat yourself up too much, Leanne. All those ads that talk about those people, even that Alan Gray one with that old man who's like going through the father's will, and he goes, "He left it all to you." And there's this that doesn't happen. It really doesn't. It's very seldom that happens for people. Mostly they just spend whatever's in the bank account and then they go into the red. I love this though. B says, "I turned 40 this year, got a Soda Stream, best gift ever."
Nice.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that a lot. Tag Heuer is that.
Having said what you've just said, there is no better example over the last 2 years than old Ben Karpinski of truly what you're talking about, which is there is salvation in suffering. He's been a man on a mission, and whew, boy, oh boy.
Yeah,
he's setting the standard.
That's been the plan. It's definitely been the plan. You sacrifice a bit and you earn so much more. I just realized this about 10 years ago. I would have been fucking much better off.
What's that?
But I wasn't ready 10 years ago. That's always the follow-up. You know, you're only ready for the things that eventually happen.
When
I was younger, I was stupid, and I wasn't the person I am now.
When a student is ready, a teacher comes. Oh. Not before then.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what we haven't said? I know you got to go. One thing we haven't said on the show for a long time, which I think bears repeating because they think that they've got away with it again. China must pay. Here we sit.
Yeah, they really must.
We sit almost 2 years later since they began this plague, which has changed and ruined parts of the world and ruined our lifestyles. China must pay. I have not forgotten.
But Gareth, you know why? Do you know why China has not paid?
Why?
Because they've distracted the world with TikTok. Everyone's dancing, having a lot of time. Yeah. They figure that China must pay. And China's whole thing is like, let's distract the world with some low-rent audio-visual entertainment for everyone to waste their lives on. And while they do that, fuckers are breaking stuff and getting his shoes and things. Shit.
They are, and they're getting away with it.
Gareth, who in China must pay?
All of them.
All of
them. You know, if it was South Africa, and we didn't, didn't have any idea that something was being cooked up in
a lab.
I'll
tell you who.
Why must I pay?
Easy, the Chinese government. It's not the people. I want every member of the Chinese Communist Party who was covering up what was really going on. They were lying. They were telling us there's no problem in Wuhan. Meanwhile, they were welding people into their apartments, trying to cover up their tracks as usual. They took that money from Fauci and they made it. They made a virus, and they fucking must pay. I'm not going to let them get away with this. I'm not a fan.
Exactly.
Not a fan. So yes, there's your
answer. Yeah, I'm pretty pissed off.
you look at what it's done to all of us. Come on. You know what we?
Exactly.
I'm not going to complain forever about.
I lost my freaking job.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Thanks, China. Yeah, there we go.
You bitches. All right, enough.
All right, thank you, Ben. Guys, have a fantastic weekend. Be the best you can be.
Yes. Dun, you, da, da, da. All right. Do not be like this guy. Don't be like this dude. That's all that matters. Hey, speaking
he
of...
does. Ben nailed it. That is the fabulous gay friend. That's what he is there.
By the way, we got some comments here from people about how great your gay voice is that you were doing just now. People like your gay voice.
I missed that. I lost reception.
Oh, yeesh. No, you missed his gay voice, which is hilarious. G must send the world 21K. Yeah, exactly, like Leanne got for her birthday. Everyone in the world should get 21,000 rand. Make it dollars, actually, you sons of bitches. We'll take $21,000.
Yeah, it'll have to be dollars because that's not going to even scratch the surface today.
No. I just realized it's Friday, says Elijah, after seeing Berberinski. That's obviously Ben. Freedom Farter, F-A-R-T-E-R, says, COVID deserves an award for being the only thing to come out of China that's lasted more than a month. Yes. Anyway, our government are so busy licking China's asshole at the moment, it's hilarious. Have you seen?
Are they?
Oh, yeah, big time. They have been since they came in. The only one who had the moral ability to tell China to butt out and was friends with the Dalai Lama was Desmond Tutu, who's always been above politics, right? So because he and the Dalai Lama are friends, they're both like religious leaders, they have a long history together. And I remember Desmond Tutu said to them, "You let my friend come and visit us. I don't care about you, China." And he's the only guy who had the strength to stand up to him. I don't know. It didn't work, obviously, because at that stage, I think our president was Zuma. And he's like, "No, China, have anything you want. Take whatever you want from the cupboard. It's all yours. The minerals, the vegetables, whatever you want."
It obviously comes down to one person in China. It's one person who made
Chairman
the decision. It's one person.
Xi Jinping.
And...
the buck stops.
I have so many ill wishes right now.
I know.
The Christian in me has finally disappeared completely.
Really? Okay, so China can cancel the world's debt to them. That's the least they can do, Harmin says. Yes, I agree with that too. Absolutely. It's always a good idea to make friends with babies. That's free cake once a year for a lifetime. What a ridiculous idea.
Yeah, but the children babies have all put their fingers in the cake. Ugh. Before you get your slice.
Do you know that I have an uncle who taught his kids never to blow out their candles. They had to clap them out by like making a breeze above them.
Oh, what a smart guy.
Otherwise they'd
spit. Why?
Because he watched them.
Because he's spitting on the cake.
He watched them blowing out the candles and thought, I'm not going to eat that cake. So he made them clap out their candles. Isn't that hilarious?
but that's right. Yeah. Every time
he's
still
alive.
Something from
And how paranoid is he now with COVID?
No, he just he's always been one of those people who doesn't want to touch dirty people. And he said to me at lunch the other day that he hates it when a woman has a clammy face. And that
you?
You know, but like some women who are going through, what do they call it?
Menopause.
Of meno.
The menopause. They get a bit clammy. You know, he's a bit of a wet cheek. And he said, "That's revolting, boy, revolting." Anyway. So Corona's Boring wants to know, can Carl Niehaus change his ways and not be a puss anymore? I'm not transphobic, but I don't believe in the trans-puss community.
Well,
I don't know. Same, this poor guy. You know, I know that people have every reason to think that Carl Niehaus is the biggest turd in the world, but I've told you, I just feel such pity for this guy. I've interviewed him a couple of times. I feel like there's a part of me, even though he doesn't deserve it, that I just go, oh, you poor man. Like, nobody likes him. Nobody. ANC, which has been his family, because his own family turned on him because he was in the ANC in the apartheid era, and he fought without any doubt. I don't think that he doesn't, you know, he's not like an unscrupulous person. He was a true believer in the struggle. And maybe that's just because he was never destined to fit in with his own community. Who knows? But the guy has no friends. And he's got no... There's no one in the ANC who's stepping up to, like, defend Carl, you know? They use him when they have
to. He's basically like COVID.
He's like COVID. Right. Oh, you're terrible. So Tracy says, Carl finally knows what it's like to be white and unemployed.
Yeah. except he can't go to Australia.
He also lied about his mother's death. That's right, Tracy. He did. He lied about his mother's death a while ago. Remember that? Did you know
that? No, I don't remember that.
Ramaphosa is from Venda, and he's a very private person, says Robin.
I didn't know that. My grandmother was Movenda. He is not just from Venda. He is the poster child of Movenda.
Why?
Chevenda. They love him up there. Head Venda.
Okay,
Chief
so what,
Venda.
What are the stereotypes around Venda people?
Yeah.
Because I don't know those.
Scoop.
I'm so glad you asked about
shit.
That because
good. I like a little unpacking
let me tell you.
Stereotypes.
Go so on. Massive penis obviously is one of the things that they've
okay.
got there.
And you can stop there. So what are we doing tomorrow?
Are you making a move?
Is that all you needed to hear? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I need to go. I have an appointment with a vendor.
Leanne's suddenly going to go around her neighborhood asking people in Tivenda. Tell me about your
vendors. Vendors.
All right, so that. What
else? I'm just going to side with the Mealy lady, and when she goes Mealy, I'm going to go vendors.
Tell us what else you can tell about a vendor person, vendor man.
The second one is. You will never find anybody in this country with the type of juju. The West Africans think they got it going.
What do you
mean? So if you want that real thing, let me give you an example. There's the most famous one for ladies is Sheba Nafela, which is it directly translates to "look at me only." So it's something you can put in your man's food, so that his eyes don't stray. Yeah. So yeah, muti just means medicine, but Sheba Nafela is the one you want, Gareth. For all the ladies out there, you would just a drop of that in his food. He'll never find another lady desirable. And the vendors do better witchcraft than anybody in the world. Yeah. So those are the two things.
What are the
for
ingredients?
Now.
Is it saffron? I've got saffron. I've got cloves.
You want to make that?
No. You need a drop of your blood as well. So if you don't have any vendor blood, it doesn't. Doesn't. Yeah. The mix doesn't work.
So yeah, they believe so. That you're telling me they believe more in the like spells and potions than any other tribe in South Africa.
Oh,
they're into that.
If you ever hear somebody saying by a lawyer, which means witchcraft, and they up north vendors,
okay.
Yay, they
yeah,
believe
because
in it so
that stands to reason. I mean, I remember Leanne. There was a story in the news a couple of years ago about how in some parts of Limpopo there were people who had eyewitness accounts of like witches flying on brooms and shit. Do you remember? They believe in that stuff.
Oh, the vendors! Hey, let me tell you, my people.
Well, I mean,
they're different.
I think Mum Jane is, Jane Malachi. I think that's her. Those
she
are
is half people. Vendor.
And she believes in that stuff.
Very much so.
And every time she
can
goes...
Can you look at someone and tell if they're a vendor?
I can tell every single tribe in this country. We all have distinguishing. If someone's closer, they look a certain way. I can tell 1,000%. You can tell a vendor from a mile off. And by the way, please don't be tribalist. Vendors are not Shanganas. Please don't ever make that mistake, Leanne.
Yeah. We've got to learn these
things. But yeah, I can tell.
I can tell from an accent sometimes, but I can't tell from looks. I haven't developed that skill yet because I wasn't immersed in it when I was a kid. But the thing with Jane is every time she goes back home to the north, way up north in Limpopo, she has to battle snakes and fucking monsters and things to get in her house. Like her house, which she rebuilt, she says there are evil spirits on the road. First of all, like she has to make sure that she's done all the right things before she can even hit the road to go up there. Then she says the snakes outside the house are a bad omen. She has to kill fucking snakes and things fall from the trees and God alone knows. It sounds like hell. It sounds really difficult.
That's like when I lived in McGregor. It was just like that.
Did you have to kill snakes?
There was like spiders dropping from the thatch and cobras on my doorstep. You'd see the gardeners who were clearing an area, and you'd just see them scatter and run fast, like holding their asses. And you knew that there was like a green mamba in the tree.
Holding their asses, that's hilarious. All right, just a quick couple of things. We got across to, we did our expat chat last Friday. So we're talking to South Africans who've moved to different places, and we want to hear about where they are and whether they like it or not. And kind of catch up with South Africans who are all over, because the stories are all so different and so interesting. And, you know, there's not a conversation, whether you're black or white, rich or poor, in this country that doesn't involve someone who's thinking of emigrating or someone who's immigrated and has an experience of one or the other. Because we're like one of those countries that there are a lot of people going and there are a lot of people coming all the time. We've got loads and loads of Zimbabweans and Malawians and Mozambicans here who wanted to come to South Africa. And we got lots of Germans who are buying property here and people from Europe. But we don't have it's not like we don't have stories about people emigrating and going somewhere else too. So I think it's an interesting subject. I like to hear people's experiences. So we'll speak to somebody in a moment about that. A couple of quick headlines. A newly discovered Vincent van Gogh painting, or rather drawing, has gone on display, and people are super excited about that. Piers Morgan is going to launch a new show on Rupert Murdoch's network, so we were waiting for this. But Piers is going to be doing a show. Ugh. Oh, you don't like Piers, huh?
He nauseates me.
I know, you really don't like him. Well, all right.
I don't like him, but we need him. We need him. Otherwise, it just becomes a bunch of simps on TV.
But watch. Yeah.
No, we need discontent. We must have that sort. I like what Piers does. We need that in the public sphere.
Definitely. So he's going to start a new show, and people will watch it. It's going to have great ratings. It'll be better off than that Good Morning Britain that he was doing before. So this is the thing he was going to unveil, right? It'll air in the US, the UK, and Australia, which is amazing. I mean, I don't think there's been a show that's aired on all three at the same time. And this will be his first major job since he left Good Morning Britain in March. Piers is the broadcast every channel once, but is too afraid to hire, Rupert Murdoch said. That guy's got balls, but he also doesn't give a damn.
You know, listen, he started Fox News, Sky Sports.
He's an evil genius, this guy. He really is.
He is. He's done some horrendous things, but I love him. He gave us the Premier League, so shout out.
There's
no free lunch.
It'll air on the newly announced Talk TV in the UK, Fox Nation in the US, and Sky News Australia. Morgan said he was thrilled to return to News Corp, where he began his media career more than 30 years ago. So this is exciting for him and for any Piers Morgan fans, wherever you may be. Don't be embarrassed if you like him. He's finally got a show, and you can see him on TV. Leanne is like, oh, for God's sake. Figile Mbalula looks like a guy again. Did you see him on TV last night?
What happened now?
He looks like a man.
He took the booty off.
And he got rid of those horn-rimmed glasses, and he was wearing an ANC T-shirt, and I think he's lost a little bit of weight, and he looks like a guy, and he looks better. I mean, he looks much better than he did the last time we saw him. Because we've been teasing him recently, saying he looks like a grandma, and I think he might have heard that. No, he listens, and he pays attention. He's very, very involved in his own, like, positioning in society, so he cares about this.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result,
well, let's hope he's listening now. That's,
yeah. So
kudos his way.
Right, a bit of a compliment for you, Fikile, and well done to going detransitioning back into being a man. Anyway, ANC members will fund the party's election campaign is basically his message at the moment. He's the head of elections, and he said to questions from the media about how much his party had budgeted for the upcoming elections, well, he said something like, we don't have a budget for that. But we have got donations from members and other donors. He says, we do not have an election budget. We're going to depend on the agility and commitment of our members. This is an admission that they're in big shit, right? Because, you know, normally politicians will just lie. Here, he can't even lie. He's telling the truth because that's all that's left. It's the only avenue open to him. So good luck to the ANC. I mean, not really, because I kind of want to see them fall. But well done, Fikile, for coming back to us and being the old Fikile that we remember, like the man Fikile from long ago, because he looked like that on TV. So respect is due. Anyway, Kenyans are upset about the fuel price hike, so they're protesting. And they're furious, apparently. And Kenyans don't get furious very easily. Aston Martin's F1 team have confirmed a 2022 driver lineup, if that matters to you at all. I think Leanne is probably one of the few women I know who actually knows a bit about Formula One. And Borlello, you often talk to Spike on your show about that. So anything to say?
I do, but I don't really Formula One. That's more weird when we have Spike on. I've got to be honest. Yeah. It's a snore fest, especially since the cars stopped making noise.
Right. I can't really watch that stuff. I've never watched a Formula One race. And when people on one of the groups that I'm on start talking
about when
fall asleep.
Yeah? I just remember when my aunt had a particularly wealthy client.
Mm.
And at one point she ended up driving with him somewhere, and she phoned my cousin, her daughter, and said, oh, you won't believe it, I'm currently driving in an Aston Martin.
Ashton.
And my cousin said, well, firstly, you need to turn to the very rich man you're next to and apologize for calling it an Aston Martin.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's really funny. Okay, just a quick thing.
Having said that, Gareth, you should go to so I have been to Formula Race race once. You must do it once, or just once in your life, just to experience what's proper theater. And, you must do it. Gareth.
You know what? Let someone else have my ticket.
Lovely.
I know. Like, if there's a great ballet that comes to town, let someone else have my ticket. I know it's a cultural experience that will enrich me, and I'll be able to talk about it here on the show, but really, I know it's a waste of time.
No, there's just hot chicks. Dude, what are you talking about?
I don't want to go to the F1. I don't care, because all those noisy cars and people like... The kind of people I've met, grown men, even men in their advanced age, who wear those horrible Formula One shirts and that I get excited about other men driving fast. Can't do it, eh?
Would you rather have the men who Yeah, exactly. Would you rather have the grown men who sing songs and like little girls and cry
guys
when a ball's kicked around?
I don't like either. You're comparing two different levels of shit in my head. I'm not really that. It's not my thing. I just know now. There used to be a time where I'd pretend. I'd be like, yeah, it would be amazing. And let me try. Someone gave me a free F1 ticket, with the exception possibly of Monaco, because that I'd like to just see the vibe and the, you know, because that city is just, that place is a different dimension. There's no other way to describe it. But there's something about that that I think would be interesting. But it's got nothing to do with the Formula One race. Nothing. Anyway, who cares about what I think? That Mrs. Doubtfire look was not a good one for Mr. Razzmatazz. Yes, that's true. Everybody's talking about that. Rebellious Ruth says, well, the last race was very exciting. Bwah, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, because the guy drove over the other guy's head. That's true. How can Bulelo say he hosts a sports show, but he never covers the current sport besides soccer and rugby? I think he should change the name, says Sean.
We only cover sports which people watch. Like, nobody watches tennis. Nobody cares. Like, every golf person and tennis fan thinks, oh, you must talk about golf.
Yeah.
Like, no one watches it, pal. We're in content. I'm in content. I got to appeal to the masses, I'm afraid.
All right, listen to this. So I got this email. I left South Africa in 2009 for the first time to live abroad in Maputo, of all places. In 2012.
Good God.
Yeah, listen to this. In 2012, I left permanently to move to Seattle. I've since lived in Dallas, New York, Munich, and now London. So this person has traveled. Like, she can tell us some stories.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go straight to her. She's on the line now. Hey, Pauline, how are you?
Good morning. I am great. I am fangirling like crazy right now because Leanne Moll, hello.
Oh, wow. You're a big Leanne. You're a Leanne Moll fan. That's nice.
Hey, Leanne.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Gareth. Hi, Gareth. Hi.
Don't worry about us. So listen, you've lived in a lot of places, and I want to ask you in a moment about all of them, but we're doing this thing where we ask people all over the world to tell us about their experiences of living in other countries. We had this really interesting guy on the other day from New Zealand. We've obviously spoken to Hi Rob in Amsterdam a little bit, and we speak to people from time to time who email us and tell us about their experiences, and it's all very varied, you know. There are lots of people with different kind of reasons that they might move to another part of the world or come to South Africa from another part of the world. But you've got a hell of a list here. Maputo, Dallas, New York, Munich, now you're in London. So you're talking to us from London right now. So first of all, like, that is a hell of a smorgasbord. Are you married? Is your husband some kind of sadist making you move so much?
It was for both of our jobs, actually. So Mapupu, we went to, I went to for my job, and it was awesome. It was a lot better than I expected it to be. So lived there for about a year, traveled in and out for 4 years in total, really enjoyed it, and then moved to the U.S. with my husband's job. Yeah. And I think that's why I wanted to speak with you guys, and I wrote in, because a lot of the stories that people are telling you are very different than what I've lived, right? I moved to the U.S. with no job. I moved to the UK with no job because I was following a boy that I love.
Wow.
And I found work.
Ooh,
and
I've read that story.
Yeah, so it's different, you know, than the other stories I've seen and heard. And I just wanted to put a different story out there. It's not, you know, everybody's not leaving South Africa because it's so terrible. Mm. And the crime. I mean, we're leaving. Yeah, crime.
It's a crisis. It's a crisis at the moment, Pauline. It's a crisis of crime where I live.
All right, so first of all, so you love this guy. That's a good reason to do these. Well, it's actually not, but I mean, it worked out for you. Maputo is just a terrible, you know, Donald Trump used to talk about shithole countries. Maputo is a shithole. Why would you have gone there? I mean, why would you?
Gareth, have you been and lived there?
It is a terrible place, Leanne. I will not take back what I've just said.
It is a dump. I have
what
to.
Do you
sorry,
make
Pauline.
Of it?
It's a dump. I've been there like five times. All trash.
Right, but let's
not, Pauline.
Oh, no, well, congratulations to you, darling. You've been there five times. Yay. I've lived there. It's not trash. It's a great life to live. The people who live there are amazing. But again, I lived an expat life there, right? I worked at an international telecoms company. Mm-hmm. I worked with people. Our office had people local. We mingled with people locally. We went to all the local bars, pubs, hung out. All of that. It was a great life. Nice. I really enjoyed it. It was, and that's the big thing I feel about if you move to another country, you don't go find other South Africans and have a braai every weekend.
Right.
You
this
immerse
is important.
Yourself in there. Yeah. You immerse yourself in there. You do fun things. You go and check out the locations in Mapupu as well. Mm. I mean, sorry, I keep saying Mapupu. It's just the way we called it. Cause
so what,
there was a lot of people. Okay,
so this is an important key. First of all, don't spend all your time with other expat South Africans, because that's not going to teach you a damn thing about the place. And if you get to know the locals and you go to the local places, you'll have a very different experience. I mean, I love the way you just told Mbulelo to go, to go and screw himself with you. Hey, you've been five times. Because he doesn't get that enough from the rest of us, and he says it all the time. I've been to Zurich, I've been to Stockholm, I've been here and I've been there. It's very annoying. Okay, so Maputo is not the shithole that Bulelo and I think it is. We just didn't have a good enough experience, and so we didn't try hard enough. So what about Seattle? I've heard things about Seattle. Here's what I know about Seattle. It rains a lot.
You can't sleep.
Sleepless in Seattle, right?
Yes.
And that's about it. And there's that space.
Russell Wilson.
Who's Russell Wilson?
He's the quarterback for the team.
Ugh, please. All right. So you tell us. Yeah, what do you tell us about Seattle? You've lived there.
So grunge, Nirvana, if you're into that type of scene, it's a great place to be.
Yes.
And again, I was there back in 2012, right? Mm. So things have changed significantly since then. The Democrats have, let's not get into politics. It's kind of gotten a little bit lower than it was when I was there. But great place to live, by the ocean, lots of cool things to do. If you're into sport, I mean, you can ocean kayaking is freaking amazing. There's great wineries. It's a lovely place to live. It doesn't rain nearly as much as people think. There's a lot of mist. So the golfers, those crazy people you're talking about in Bulelo, who like to walk a lot after a ball, those guys love it there, and they play golf in any weather. People just carry on with life because it's mostly mist. And not just rain, but the, like, some seasons are super rainy. But on average, New York City gets more rain than Seattle.
Okay.
So it's a lovely place. So it's very livable, lots of great hikes. We lived very close to the city, but also close to, like, the forest, which was really awesome. So it's just a different lifestyle than that. And the biggest thing that shocked me, I have to say,
when I first so weird. I never...
Go ahead.
I never thought of Seattle as a beach place. Like, I've never seen any footage of a surfer going, yeah, dude, like, I'm from Seattle.
It's not surf beach, though. It's much quieter. So Twilight, the beaches in Twilight weren't far from Seattle. They were in Oregon. So it's like those types of beaches. So it's a lot quieter. Mm. And, yeah, it's a really cool scene. So very laid back. I mean, it's West Coast. It was super cool. I enjoyed it. But... You're going to be hard pressed to find me say a lot negative about many places just because I'm not that person who's going to go out and look for.
That's awesome.
Things to complain about, right?
What about Pauline? I read about the tech scene in Seattle. It's something that I've read about over the last couple of years. I mean, that I find super interesting. And it's got me really interested in reading more about Seattle.
So I am in tech. So I've been in IT telecoms for a long time. I was in South Africa, I worked at Ericsson, and I'm at Salesforce now. My husband's been at Nokia, and we've worked at those types of companies. I worked for a big tech company out of San Francisco when I was out in the US, and that scene's really big. But not San Francisco and Seattle is really big. And it's sort of everywhere. So a lot of the people you see in Seattle as well are people who are imports because of the tech scene. So you see lots of Indian engineers who are coming through from India. And it's a really vibey sort of mixed bag of things.
I'm just looking at the time because I could talk to you all morning. You're fantastic. First of all, Dallas.
I know.
Tell us about Dallas.
Dallas is hot, dude. Hot, hot, hot. You will have like 3 months of over 100 degrees, which is... I don't even know what that is in Celsius, really. But it's really hot. Where you get into your car, and if you've got shorts on, your thighs burn. Jesus. And it's really hot, and it's flat, and it can be really boring. But the people are fabulous. The food scene is great. But it's just hot. So we lived there for a while, but just couldn't stand the weather. My husband didn't like it too much, and I wanted to live in New York City. That was my dream. And we don't have kids, so we're like, okay. Let's look for jobs and go.
So, all right, New York is very familiar to me. Oh. I have stayed there pretty much every year for the last 12 or 15 years for at least a week or two. I know the place as well as it's possible for someone who doesn't live there to know it. And it's a charming place, but it's very hard. I think it's hard to live in. What was your experience?
I don't think anywhere in the U.S. is hard to live in for South Africans.
Really?
If you've lived in Johannesburg, you can live anywhere. Yes. I cracked the sales scene in New York, and I was successful there, right?
Okay.
And a high level of sales. And I think if you can do that with relative ease, it speaks to the character of South Africans because we work really hard and we have like, we fit in. So, sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback.
No, don't worry. It happens, but we can hear you fine. So
it's not just you.
No, the software does it occasionally. We're trying to figure it out. Greg is on it, I promise. So if you're one of those people listening right now and you're irritated by it, trust me, we know we're sorting it out. They find a solution. Anyway, so New York, okay, you say not a hard place to live. How about Munich and London? I mean, these are the two places you've most recently been to. How are the Germans?
Before we go into Munich, I have to say New York, best place I've ever lived.
Really?
I would go back there tomorrow. Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Loved it. So expensive, but just amazing.
Okay. What do you think it is, the energy? Yeah,
so the energy is palpable, as you know, right? I love the feeling of being anonymous amongst a lot of people. So I'm not a person who meets people all the time, but what you were saying on the show yesterday, I think is very relevant around an extrovert, not necessarily being a person who's like woo out there, but it's just sucking energy from other people, and I feel like that's what drives me.
Yeah.
So I feel that energy, and I love that about the city. The food scene is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Bars are amazing.
That's tremendous.
You can do anything and do something different every day of the year. So,
what about Munich? Mm. Munich, sorry, we were talking about Germany.
Yeah, didn't like Munich. Hey, that's why I left it after a year. If you don't speak German, it's really difficult.
Really?
Do you think I should put on some headphones?
No, yes. Don't worry. Because we've
no, don't worry, it's not you.
Because we've got like 2-3 minutes left anyway, and then okay. So let's just push forward. I want to hear more.
So Munich was difficult because I couldn't find work. It's the only place I couldn't find work because they want people to speak fluent German. The rules kill you. I mean, you can't – everything's closed on a Sunday. It's back to apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
Going into government office is literally like being in apartheid because the bureaucracy is that insane. The buildings look like they're out of the 60s and they've never been painted. And the rules, I mean, you can't mow your lawn on Fridays. You can't speak past 10 at night because, God forbid, someone could hear you. There's 7 different recycling bins. People are super nationalist, which I don't mind that people love their countries. But once you see racism, you can't unsee it. And I'm not one of those people who looks for racism. But when I saw that people were treating me differently because of that, and it took me freaking 5 months to realize why people were treating me differently.
Right.
You can't unring that bell. So then off we came to London. And I enjoy it here, I have to say. Contrary to all the slagging off that you guys do, I do enjoy it here. It's sort of a mix of the US and South Africa. They get back bacon, which I love, because you can't get back bacon in America, which is a big thing for
me. Amazing.
And good sausages.
Good sausages and back bacon is an important part of life, you know, if you can't get what you want, really.
Important drivers,
So, Pauline, here's a question for you from somebody, a question for your lovely guest from Ruth. She says, are people very confused when you tell them where you're from? Do they get that wrong?
Jeez, I'm sure. Like, I'm from Africa.
It's so different in different countries. I've actually had arguments with people in the U.S. who will say, oh, but you're not African because you're not black. Or I had a Latino girl once say, oh, but your hair is not black. And I was like, but your hair is not Native American. Like, have you noticed that you didn't, that, you know, you weren't born here?
Yeah.
And I am super sarcastic in case you didn't notice. So,
good.
But, so, you know, you can take it from where it comes. People, I think, are generally inquisitive. More often than not, they look at you and they expect you to sound Indian. And when you don't sound Indian, they're almost nicer to you, which I mean, that's to my benefit. But unfortunately, sure. I think people who come from India get treated a bit differently. And people are just interested in your accent and where you come from and your journey. And if they know you've lived in different places, they just want to hear. And I think my big message and the reason I wanted to talk to you guys today was to tell all young people, I tell people this all the time, if you're young and you want to travel, you live once, go for it. Go
everywhere,
all the time. I've been to over 50 countries. I love it. Nothing makes your world bigger than traveling. And go live in a hostel for a little bit, on the bones of your ass if you want to, but just go see the world.
I love it.
Did you try it, Mbulelo?
Oh, amen.
Yeah,
amen. Hey, Pauline, we had a rough start. Where you kind of sucker punch me in the testicles, but you are awesome. And by the way, I love that you got is it a Polish surname there, Jablonski as well? You've thrown that in the mix. That must really throw.
Oh, my love is from Poland. You know what, Gareth? One day you're going to be less jaded. I was just like you, and I met someone who, lots of ups and downs in relationships, but when you find your person, dude, it's just the best thing.
I'm there for the ups. I'm just not there for the downs. All right.
Pauline, I must tell you, your name looks like you drew it from a hat or you like made it up as a 5-year-old and thought, what is the craziest name that I could
give myself? Pauline Naidu Jablonski. It's fantastic.
My parents. It's my parents' fault. They made, because there weren't enough names in the world, and they were like, oh, let's make one up. So.
Listen, I love talking to you. We got to have you on the show again, and I don't say that to people easily because most of them, I'm like, oh, I'm thrilled that we finished with them. But you, I want to talk to again. You've got lots of interesting experience and stories we didn't get a chance to go to, so there's lots of catching up. But it is 7:04, so we got to move on. Otherwise, people get pissed off with us for the podcast. But Pauline, thank you very much. Nice to see you. Wow.
Have a cool day, guys. Bye.
Yeah. She's great. That's fantastic. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.